Okay. As for my topic today, I guess a good title would be Prescription for Spiritual Health. And as we are preparing for these holidays that's coming up, we've already been through one, but we've got other holidays coming up. And at this time of the year, a lot of people tend to make resolutions and think about things that they want to change or things that they want to improve on. And one of the things that may come to mind is you might want to change or improve on your health. You know, we all, as we get older, I don't think anybody's getting any younger, but I'd like to think we do. But anyway, we as we get older, the older we get, the more health conscious we tend to get. And as we get physically health conscious, sometimes we need to consider the fact that we need to be more spiritually health conscious also, especially since we are considering ourselves to be Christians, trying to walk a Christian walk, trying to be an example to others. So we most especially need to be conscious of our spiritual health. And things that we need to do to improve it, as well as make sure that we are in spiritual health, or we do have spiritual health. One, just like a physical health, we have to approach that with effort. It takes effort for us to stay physically healthy, and it's going to take effort for us to be spiritually healthy. And there's some things that we have to work at. Now, I'm not that medically inclined. I know we do have some people here that are, but most physicians have a book that they refer to called a PDR. Did I say that right? PDR. And that is a physician's physician's death reference. Okay. I was trying to make sure I remember it right, but and that is a book that they refer to when they want to look up a lot of things medically, what could be wrong with a person, what kind of symptoms they follow, what kind of drugs they can use, and things that would help a person physically. Am I right? Still right so far? Okay. We have a PDR also, and this is our PDR, the battle. So we're going to look into some of the scriptures in here to help us prescribe, help us get a prescription for physical health, I mean for spiritual health. As we look at this, we're going to try to come up with some things that will be most helpful to us. Okay, one of the first things that we know that aids us physically against a lot of the different diseases and things is we have to have a strong immune system. So, just like in physical health, you need to have a strong immune system for spiritual health. Because we get vaccinations for when we are young, and as we get older, for to ward off different types of diseases. Some diseases we even think are extinct, but it's not. It's just that because we have vaccinations that aids us in our immune system to fight it off. Well, we also have some things that we have to fight off spiritually, and it attacks us daily, and not only just daily, but many times during the day. Some things that we don't even consider, like temptation. What may be tempting to me may not bother somebody else. What may be tempting to them may not bother me, but we all face temptation during the day, and each and every day. We also have, we be faced against persecution. How strong is your immune system against persecution? You want people to recognize and know that you are a Christian. But you shouldn't have to walk around every day wearing a sign saying, I'm a Christian, or you shouldn't have to be going around telling people, hey, you know I'm a Christian. You know I'm a Christian. You know, they should be able to see that within you. Also, how about false teaching? If you hear somebody saying something to you or to somebody else, and you know it's not true, especially if they're talking about Christ or saying something biblical or something spiritual, what do you do? You know, we've been having lessons about how we're going to communicate with people and tell them, spread the gospel, and the way we can approach them and how we can carry on conversation with them and how we can even teach them about Christ. But we also learned during those lessons that we don't want to get into a battle with anyone about certain teachings or what's right and what's wrong. Our job is just to deliver the message, not to battle it or beat against somebody. You know, all we can do is just tell them the truth, show them where it's at. It's up, the choice is still there to decide what they want to do. So these are some of the things that we'll be faced with trying to improve our spiritual health. Also, as in with all the discussions that we have, which makes it a discussion, anybody feel like they want to jump in at any time, feel free to jump right in and make comments. Physically, some threats can be deadly without a healthy immune system. We already talked about that. Well, we need to build up a resistance because temptation and spiritual hardships are inevitable, which I just said we're going to face that all the time. If you look in your Bibles in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 7, we'll find that the scripture says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay, in order to resist him, we don't have to be strong. And we're only going to be strong if we continue to practice what we have to do to resist him, which means you can't just resist them for this moment and later on just buckle under. It's a continuous process, and we all know that the devil is going to be at us at our weakest point and continuously. So that should keep us on guard at all times. If we yield to the devil's temptation, if we yield to the devil, and he's going to continuously follow us because we're more or less an easy prey. So just like in a soldier that's in the service in the military, you have to be ready at all times, just even at the times when you are at your weakest, times when you feel tired, you're ready to sleep, times when you're hungry, you want to get something to eat. Sometimes you just want to I just need to sit down and get relaxed. That's when you can expect the devil to hit it. Another scripture we can look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. With a strong immune system, we will not have the attitude that since we are in Christ, nothing can happen to us. No one can get away with sin. You can sin and get away with it. Sometimes people feel like they have been a Christian for a good number of years, or a good period of time. And I used to hear my grandmother at the time, I didn't know no better, but I used to hear her say sometimes, Sometimes you gotta lay your religion down. We can never lay our religion down if we are a true Christian. What she was referring to is sometimes you get so mad that you can just do a little wrong or get revenge or retaliate, and God understands it doesn't work like that. Just because we are Christian, the number one rule we have to always remember, it's harder for us. It's always going to be hard for us. We're always going to be tempted. So you don't have a break. You don't have a chance to say, well, I deserve to take a break. I deserve to get back at them because they did something to me. I know a number of times Russ have given us examples that I know what the Bible says, but we can't use that term. I know what the Bible says, but if we know what the Bible says, we know what the Bible says. We have to do it. There is no but. So just because we are Christians, and just because we try to live a right life, doesn't mean we stack up enough credit, whereas when we mess up, we can get away with it. We can't. There's never enough that we can do, never enough good that we can do that's going to give us that credit. So we have to constantly stay on our guard for that. And we have that mindset that we are just like everybody else, just like a regular, a person that doesn't know God, they're just as guilty. They got to pay for their sins as well as we do. But if there's any such thing as more so, we have to pay more so because we know better. My mom used to say to me when I was younger, I'm going to give you a whipping because you know better. And I might have knew better, but that didn't stop me. That didn't make any easier. Didn't mean that my brother did wrong, and I would tell him, and he wouldn't stop. So he still did what he did. And a lot of times, I went along with it, knowing that I was wrong. So I still got punished. And even more so because I knew better. The same thing is going to be with us when we face God. We know better. So we don't get a well, y'all been good so long, so far, I'm going to let this one slide. It doesn't work like that. Okay, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise men. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. With a strong immune system, we will watch our path, avoid contact with undesirable influences, and take advantage of the opportunities to serve, to advance the purpose of Christ in this world. I say all that to say this. I didn't understand exactly what circumspectly is. Their term, where they use that word, it basically means no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, you have to still conduct yourself accordingly and be on guard. Also, you've heard Russ give us the example that we say, well, you don't know what this person did to me. You don't know how bad that hurt. Number one, you're going to get hurt more from a family member than you will from a stranger. Why? Because the family member is closer to you than a stranger. So when they hurt you, your family, you have a sense of feeling like, well, why did they do that? They know that they shouldn't do that. They know better. Why did they do that? Whether they're Christian or not, they know that you don't like this. They know that it's going to hurt you. They know it's going to affect you. So your immediate feeling of response would be, man, if you know all this, I need to retaliate. I got to get back at you. If you didn't know, you will know from now. That's what the devil is whispering into your ear. But because you're vulnerable, because you're hurt, you may get weak, but you can't listen to what he's telling you. You have to be strong enough and have a strong immune system enough to ward that off. And think about, as the saying goes, what would Christ do? What would Jesus do? Yeah, it hurts. It hurts even more to forgive. But you have to do that because this is what Christ would do. And then we're patterning ourselves to try to be like Christ so that we can end up living with him in eternity. Now, it would be a sad thing if for that moment you fall under the weakness of the devil and you get your revenge, whether it be something said, whether it be something physical, whether it be something that you do, and you satisfy. And then you may say to yourself, I know I shouldn't have did that. But I did it anyway. I feel better, man, because I let them know they won't do that no more. But you can't go to heaven and tell the Lord that. You know, you may say that. You may feel better no more. But when you stand before judgment, I guarantee you, you're not going to feel as happy or as satisfied as you felt at that moment that you did it. But because we fell prey to the devil at that moment, a moment of weakness can cause us very dearly. So it's a lot to think about and continuously think about, but this is just some points we're trying to bring out to help us be mindful of why we have to do what we have to do. And maybe it will give us the strength we need to do what we have to do. Moving right along, for those of you that may have came in and we have already started, what we're talking about this morning is looking at some things that will help us to help us improve our spiritual health, because we want to eventually end up in eternity with God. And so we need to have good spiritual health in order to continue this journey. And if we don't, regardless of how long our journey is, we still want to have good spiritual health as well as to have good physical health. But we're looking at some things in our Bible that we I guess you could say we re-termed it, or I re-termed it, our PBR, which is the physical physician's death reference. We consider the Bible our physician's death reference. Because who is the greatest physician? It's God. And he's given us this book that we could use. Not only is it our basic instruction before leaving the earth, and also be our physician's death reference. On the way, every time I think of P, I keep thinking physical, but it's physicians in this case. But that's what we're discussing. Yes?
It's not enjoyable. We have a counselor here that lets us know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. He convicts us. We know that.
Right.
He's going to allow you enough to make it right. It might not be right to the other person.
that's a real good point, because you know, before I became a Christian, and I'm sure that it crosses a lot of other people's mind before they make that kind of decision, you think that if I want to convert or change my life over to be a Christian, if I want to try to do God's will and do the right thing, I mean, I can't never mess up. And that's not the case. As long as we live and walk on the face of the earth, we're going to mess up because we're human. We, you know, that was my thought back then. Well, I don't mind going to church. One day I will change, but I got to get myself right first. There's no way I'm going to get myself right first. You know, that's why Christ came, because we couldn't get ourselves right first. But that was my mindset. That was the way I was thinking. But to know that, as you mentioned, once you mess up, and you realize you mess up, that's when you have to pray and ask for forgiveness. You know, then, if you also mentioned, whether we be able to go back to whoever we offended or whatever and apologize, we might have the opportunity, we might not. But the thing is, once you know and realize, then you have to make it right to God and pray and ask Him for forgiveness. And He'll give you another opportunity. It may not be the exact same opportunity. It may not be with that person. But because when you make progress, you'll realize and you'll see things. You won't make that same mistake again. It'll come up again, and it'll be a different situation. But something in your mind should ring. Wait a minute. I've seen this before. Something about this looks familiar. I'm not going to do the same thing I did before. He gives us that opportunity. You have any, you know? That strong immune system where when the devil be whispering in your ear, oh, you can't make this right. God's not going to forgive you for that. They're not going to forgive you for that. If they don't forgive you for that, you did your part. You came to them if you had that opportunity. But that's where that strong immune system comes in, that if you're willing to go that extra mile or do what you have to do to try to make it right. Another thing that we'll need is regular exercise. Regular exercise helps build strong bodies physically, but spiritually it also helps us in that form of spiritual exercise. When we look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, and we desire that each one of you show the same discipline to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. This lesson knows that there is a danger of becoming spiritually sluggish if you do not exercise by serving and doing work in the labor of love and in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of things that we do, and we see a lot of people out, they are trying to do things in the name of the Lord. They may be saying, maybe trying to raise money. They may be going around trying to help the sick. They may be volunteering services. But somewhere along the line, and it may be necessary in some instances, but there may be a slight fee involved. Like I said, it may be necessary in some instances, and that's in order to keep the work going. And some people look at going to church as, I don't want to go to church, but they're always asking for money. But how much work with those things I just mentioned? How many of those things can you do without funds? How much can you help the sick without funds? How much can you aid in helping them get around? When they are in need, how can you support their needs without funds? But we have to do that. And like I said, it may be a slight, which we're not, it's not a charge for you to come to church and put money in the plate. Some people look at it as that. Because I've been to some churches where, I mean, one collection is not enough. You know, they want to get collection for this, collection for that, collection for the building funds. Well, if the building needs work, yeah, we need extra money. And maybe we need to contribute to that. But how long does the building fund continue? If we're going to fix this one particular thing that the building requires, or we just can keep adding to the fund, we're going to have the biggest building in the area. And are we getting the biggest building too? Because our numbers are growing, and we need to accommodate more people coming. Or are we just getting a bigger building just to say we got the biggest building in the area? But if you have to look at what is the good works? Good works is works that we do without selfishness and for the uplifting of Christ, for his name. But if you're going to do works and then talk about what you did, or just do it so everybody can see you doing something, that's not the right reason. So we have to exercise and do the work, but do the work for the right reason. Also, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Here we see that we have been created to walk in good works. And that's the purpose that God has for us, but that is also one of the reasons why we were created, as the scripture just stated. Not that we do this for show, or we do this so everybody can say, "Oh yeah, I know them. They're always out there doing this. They're always helping. They're always." And when you walk around, you have air about you that, you know, if you're not helping me do this, then you're no good to me. That's not the right attitude either. We have to do good works without recognition to ourselves, but for recognition to Christ, so that others can see him through us, not that they just see us, regardless of whether we are doing it individually or whether we are doing it as a group. But we have to be mindful of what we're doing it for and what the purpose is for. We each need to exercise ourselves in goodness, because goodness is profitable unto all things. Let's look at Timothy, 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. "But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come." A true spirituality requires one to train at godliness in one's walk with the Lord and discipline in godliness, affecting both the present and the future life of the believer. Which is also means that God's not only going to bless us while we're living on earth today, if we're doing good works and walking in godliness, but we also have the promise of eternal life, which will be profitable for us after we leave this life, we leave this earth. That alone should be, I would dare say, would be good enough to give us the motivation we need to continue to do the good works. Because it's going to be too late. after we get to judgment, he said, if I coulda, shoulda, woulda, we won't have an opportunity to change again. But we have all the opportunities in the world now. I would like to think that the harder it seems, the more blessed the reward is going to be when we get to the end. We may not see it now, but we'll see it then. I know for myself, and this is just looking at it physically, there's some days that I have to go to work. I don't feel like going. And it's not like I have to get up early in the morning to go. Because I don't have to be working until 3 o'clock in the evening. And you would say, oh, man, 3 o'clock, I'll never be late. 3 o'clock comes so fast that, you know, before I know it, I'm racing to try to get there. And then when I get there, I'm tired. And then I look at how much time I got to go, things I got to do. Sometimes it'll be dragging. But when the end of the period comes and it's time to get paid, and I'm like maybe some of you all, not my paycheck is directly deposited. When I go online and look at that deposit, it's always, you know, I'm happy that I drug myself there. I'm happy that I went through all that. Because for one thing, all that's behind me then. I don't really even think about how tired I was. I don't even think about the things I had to do. It's behind me. I'm looking at what I got paid, and now I'm looking forward to how fast it's gonna go, to who it's gonna go to. But I wouldn't have it to go there if I hadn't went through that rough time. Yes. One of the goals also is to make it there. You know, that's what we're working for, to make it to that cave, to make it to eternity. You hear the Lord say, well done. Because even if everybody that we tried to bring with us, you know, many start out, but by the time they get to a certain point, there may not be that many that is not the same number that started. Even if that same number, you know, you don't have that minimum, you still got to get there in order to get the reward. And that's, you know, sometimes we feel like, I want to be like the prodigal son. I want to get paid, man. You know, I've been working so hard. I've been trying so much. You know, I've been going through so many things, taking all this, still trying to keep my chin up. Still trying to walk the faith, walk the walk, build the life, be, you know, have the faith strong. I'm still trying to show Christ. I'm taking all this persecution from people. You know, I'm the black sheep of the family. I'm the worst guy at work. You know, you think about that and you say, is it worth it? Because that's what the devil is telling you. Yeah, hey man, you've been doing all this. You running it down. Everything you've been doing. You know. And trying to make it. And on top of that, you still throwing stumbling blocks in front of you, you know, so you can stumble over. And you get to the point and you say, man, is it worth it? You know, I may get all the way to the end and then I don't make it. And everything I did, that's what the devil's telling me. You're gonna lose it all. You know, all you gotta do is mess up one more time. God's not gonna forgive you for that. again, that strong immune system that it says, yes, he will. As long as I remain strong, remain faithful. As the scripture says, the race is not given to the swift, but to those who are faithful, remain strong to the end. But like I said, you have to get to the end, as you were talking about. That's what we're working for. And we have to go through a lot. But sometimes some things that help me, especially when I feel like I'm almost at the end of that rope and I need to tie a knot in it to hold on, I think about what Christ went through. You know, all that prosecution that he went through, persecution, I'm sorry, to have someone take you and whip you. I mean, when I grew up, I did wrong. My mom did some things that today would be considered child abuse. But I guarantee you, it straightened me out, you know. And I didn't do those things again. But to be whipped, with the kind of whip that they used on him, trying to pull flesh from your body, you'd be bleeding, constantly whipping you. And he never said a word, didn't say anything. That is, I couldn't take just that. Yes. That's what's happening now because they weren't disciplined. Yeah. Not the same way anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. But it didn't kill you.
No, it didn't.
And as you said, you feel like it made you better. Yeah. But God punishes us also, just not quite as severely, but he punishes us all, you know. But it's for our good, to make us realize and to see things, and to help us go around those traps that the devil set for us. And hopefully, when we get to that just reward, we sit at that banquet table, we'll realize, oh yeah, it was worth it. And it may be, just like I just said, it'll all be behind us. I mean, I didn't feel like it was nothing then, you know, at that point. But now it seems rough or hard. But we got to look for that period of time that we're looking forward to and get to. We're not going to get it if we fall prey to the devil. Okay, my time is about out. I thought I would have got a little bit further than this, but I appreciate your comments. I just leave you with one other thing. Also, one of the things we'll need to help us with our spiritual health is going to be periodic rest. Periodic rest doesn't mean, spiritually, it doesn't mean that we can sit back and take a break and says, I did enough. I don't need to do this no more. You know, I've been going to church every Sunday, on time, everything. They give my contribution. This week or this month, I want to take a vacation. I'm going to Kalamazoo and I'm just lay back. And, I'm going to take a time off, you know, like we do for my job. You can't do that. That's not periodic rest. Wherever you go, whatever the time is, you're still supposed to be serving the Lord. And you're still trying to carry yourself in a manner that others can see Christ in you. So you're spreading the gospel everywhere in everything that you can do, whether you be here, whether you be on the other side of the world, wherever you are. You also ways in which you can take your rest, not necessarily mean just stop serving God. If you were doing, if you were a preacher or Sunday school teacher, or as we have every Sunday, we got guys that stand up, and as we go through the mechanics of worship, you know, some of us pray, some of us stand up and read scriptures, some help collect the money, some pass the praise. But you don't see the same guy doing the same thing every Sunday. That's because we take periodic rest. Different guys. We all have done the same thing. So this Sunday may be my turn. Next Sunday may be his turn. Sunday after that may be somebody else's turn. So that we don't burn out doing the same thing. That's what periodic rest is. To not to continue to do the same thing, same thing, same thing, to the point where you get burned out. You do this service in the Lord this time or for this small period of time. Then you let somebody else do it, and you do something else. That way, we can be versatile, and we can't just all do one thing because we are all different anyway. So, with those things in mind, that will help increase our spiritual health. And hopefully, as we go through life, others can see Christ in us, and not only will they notice how different we are, but it may motivate them to want to change their life also. I thank you for your time. I hope you get a little something out of this lesson this morning, and all that I was discussing. Thank you.